listening to The Martial Brain, the podcast that explores the intersection between the martial arts, science, critical thinking, skepticism, and that wacky organ that floats inside our skulls in a pool of cerebral spinal fluid, making life unpredictably inspiring, infuriating, and sometimes just batshit crazy. I'm Jeff Westfall for The Martial Brain. Vulcans, Klingons, Muses, and the Martial Arts. Today I'm going to nerd out, as is my wont, as I draw parallels between concepts from the fictional universe of Star Trek and our own realm of existence. The creator of Star Trek, Gene Roddenberry, developed a number of alien species for the crew of the USS Enterprise to interact with. Oftentimes these species were simply figurative mirrors into which we humans could look to examine certain parts of ourselves. There were, of course, the logical, unemotional Vulcans, as well as the violent, honor-obsessed warriors called Klingons. Looking at it one way, each of these species could be said to represent different elements of human nature, different behaviors that are sometimes expressed by our quirky human brains. The Vulcans would represent the prefrontal cortex, that most evolved part of us that allows us to value reason over emotion, to think before we act. The Klingons would represent the more impulsive parts of the brain, especially the male brain. I've spoken before in this podcast about two different kinds of thinking. One, quick, intuitive, going with your gut thinking, and two, careful, deliberate reasoning. Now, each of these modes is distinct from the other and is equally important. When you need to react quickly, like when competing hard in a sports competition, or when fighting for your life, you don't want to take the time to carefully reason out each thing you do, and you also don't want to allow fear to inhibit your reactions. Instead, you need to learn to ignore all the things that the scared little 3-year-old inside your brain is whispering to you, and to trust your reflexes, to be in the moment. Another way of saying this is that you need to allow your inner Klingon to take over. But when quick reaction isn't necessary, and especially when making important decisions, like how to invest your savings, whether or not to bring a child into the world, what career to pursue, who to vote for, or where to invest your money, time, and energy studying the martial arts, you need to take your time, engage that good old prefrontal cortex, and think critically. In other words, allow your inner Vulcan to take over. So as you can see, each of these two ways of thinking, represented in the Star Trek universe by alien species, can be useful. But there's one important quality that I'm not so sure you could easily ascribe to either of these two races. Creativity. The mention of neither Klingons or Vulcans immediately brings to mind poetry, music, dancing, or the theater. Yes, fellow nerds, I know that the Star Trek universe has made references to the Vulcan harp, Klingon opera, and Klingon translations of Shakespeare. But these were at most passing depictions, and not necessarily flattering to Vulcan or Klingon creativity. So I'm going to cling to my metaphor. Let's digress for a moment. In episode number 119 of this podcast, entitled, "There's a Box There for a Reason," I emphasized the importance of realizing that thinking outside the box, simply for the sake of being different, for an egotistical need to draw attention to yourself, is not necessarily a good thing. Please listen to that episode to hear the case that I stated for this argument. But now I want to approach the concept of creative thinking, thinking outside the box, in a more positive light. In the martial arts, and in life in general, it's easy to get caught up in the day-to-day discipline and routine of getting things done, whether those things are earning money, raising your family, developing your fighting skills, or developing the fighting skills of your students. Sometimes in this process, we lose sight of the fact that it may be possible to do things in a vastly better way. A large part of the significant breakthroughs in every area of science and technology were accomplished when creative thinking spurred eureka moments. The really great thinkers in these areas recognized this and actually budgeted time on a regular basis to engage in creative thinking. But how does one engage in creative thinking? Well, there have certainly been a lot of claims made by successful people, claims that range broadly across a wide spectrum of activities. Nikola Tesla, who, for the few of you that don't know, was a groundbreaking physicist and inventor, claimed that he stimulated his thinking by exercising his toes. Now, this may sound silly to you, but the key, at least to me, is not the toes. The key is the exercise. Data is rapidly accumulating from a number of different disciplines that regular exercise stimulates the creative process. Albert Einstein walked the mile and a half to work at Princeton University and then back home at night every day and insisted that he got many of his best ideas during his walks. Charles Darwin insisted on taking 3 45-minute walks every day and felt that he did his best thinking during these walks. For what it's worth, I've experienced the same thing many times during runs, swims, or any type of workout that I was doing without a partner. Another claim made by many successful innovators is the importance of sleep. Now, sleep is important for all kinds of health, but that's not what I'm talking about here. Many innovators claim that if they properly frame a problem in their brain before going to sleep, they often wake up with a potential solution. Some current neurological research suggests that the period of sleep called non-REM sleep results in brain activity called spindle events in which these breakthroughs happen. There are also thinkers who insist that the use of certain drugs has made a difference for them. I am by no means advocating this. I'm simply reporting what my research has turned up. For example, Paul Erdos, one of the most important mathematicians of the 20th century, insisted that the use of amphetamines helped fuel his breakthroughs. I don't know about you, but I think I'll stick to exercise and sleep. Yet another activity that seems to consistently stimulate creative thinking is creative activity. Engaging in artistic endeavors like graphic art, sculpture, music, dancing, or writing not only produce great works when done by people of great talent, it also seems to stimulate creative thinking in other areas. Many influential people on the cutting edge of promoting creative thinking in business and industry encourage workers and executives to spend some time, some paid time, every day, doodling, playing a musical instrument, putting on some music and doing a bit of dancing, or even practicing the martial arts. It doesn't seem to matter whether or not the person doing this is any good at whatever creative endeavors they try. The simple act of being creative in the moment seems to turbocharge the creative process in other, more tangibly and immediately productive areas. Getting back to my Star Trek metaphor, I propose a third alien species which can be used to suggest a form of useful human behavior. I call them muses. Muses are drawn to creative endeavors the way that Klingons are drawn to honor and war, and the way that Vulcans are drawn to logic and critical thinking. They are Renaissance beings, prone to express themselves in many ways, both physical and verbal, from the performing arts to the martial arts to the creative arts. As I said earlier, there are times when it's important to be like a Klingon. But if you spend all your day being like a Klingon, you're much more likely to hurt someone who doesn't deserve it, even someone you love, and more likely to end up in jail or civil court. There are also times when you want to be like a Vulcan. But if you spend all your time being like a Vulcan, you're not going to have many friends, because Vulcans are notorious for having no sense of humor. By the way, that's one of my personal weaknesses, one which I'm working hard to conquer. That is, that I have a hard time trusting or spending time with someone who seems to have no sense of humor. So, anyway, I propose that there are times when it's important to be like a muse. Like when writing a podcast, or thinking up new tactical approaches for the martial arts, or developing the new applications and techniques that these approaches demand, or writing new training drills. The creative process can be stimulated in direct or indirect ways, like drawing pictures of martial arts movements, or of your granddaughter playing with the cat, or using music as a background for employing martial arts movements to dance around the house or academy, or simply to dance for dancing's sake. When engaging in the creative process, you might be surprised how many new ideas occur to you. Thinking critically is extremely important, but I think it's equally important to try not to immediately judge a new idea too harshly. There have been times when I was playing around with various martial arts concepts and came up with something that was outside the box. The part of me that I might label my practical side is often quick to judge my little creation and find it wanting, usually accompanied by a phrase like, "Well, that's stupid." This is a perfect moment to utilize what I often describe as perhaps the only true superpower that we humans actually possess. Not in science fiction, but in the real universe. And that's metacognition. Metacognition is the ability to examine our own thoughts, to literally think about what we are thinking and why we are thinking it. So far as we know, humans are the only species capable of doing this. And in my experience, only a small percentage of humans ever actually go to the trouble of making use of this amazing ability. Your initial response to a new creative idea, if it is indeed something like, "That's stupid," should be examined from the higher plane of metacognition. Do you think the idea is stupid because you're worried about looking stupid to your peers? Is your level of understanding so complete that you can immediately grasp whether or not this new idea is practical or useful? Does it deserve at least a short life before you kill it? Now, creative ideas are like genetic mutations. Only a few of them turn out to be useful. But that shouldn't deter you from engaging in the creative process, because the process is what eventually spits out the rare gems that can revolutionize human existence. If your creative process generates a new idea now and then, it's not necessary to strangle it in the cradle. No matter how silly it may look at first, spend at least a little time experimenting with it, giving it a chance to show you aspects of it that you may not have initially considered. These are the times when I think it's better to be a muse rather than a Vulcan or a Klingon. Anyway, that's what I think, but I could be wrong. Let me know what you think, and check out old episodes of the Martial Brain podcast at my website, rpmartialarts.com. I'm Jeff Westfall for the Martial Brain. The Martial Brain is produced by Raging Squirrel Productions, in association with the Rising Phoenix Martial Arts Academy. If you like the podcast and would like to help it grow, go to iTunes or Stitcher and give it an honest rating and review. Contact me with questions about the Martial Brain or about the Rising Phoenix Academy at my website, rpmartialarts.com.